Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to the Gospel Truth. I'm your host, Andrew Womack, and today I'm going to share with you what I believe to be one of the most common mistakes that Christians make, and that is that they don't understand the authority that God has given them. Now, that may not ring your bell, what I just said, but I tell you, that is a major, major problem in the body of Christ. For instance, let me give you an example, that people will pray and ask God to do something that God gave us the authority to do. And if you are asking God to do something that God told you to do, it's not going to work. And this is, in my estimation, the number one reason that people don't get prayers answered, because they are asking God to do something that God has already done, and He gave us the power and the authority to make those things come to pass. And the average person approaches God as if they have no power, as if they have no authority. Now, they wouldn't always say it in these words, but I have had hundreds of people come to me with tears in their eyes, and basically, I'm paraphrasing, but here's what they're saying is, I'm just powerless. I can't do anything. Would you please pray and see if God can help me? That is starting from a position that is completely contrary to everything that the Word of God says. For instance, the Scripture says over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And you could just take so many Scriptures. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He told us that we are supposed to be rejoicing. For instance, let me use this verse. This will make my point, I believe, out of Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples, and He's commissioning them to go out and to heal the sick. And it says in Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 1, it says, when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, this is a strong statement. He gave His disciples this power, and not only the power, but the authority to use that power. And they were supposed to cast out devils. They were supposed to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And then right after this, after it lists His 12 disciples, it says, here's His commands unto them in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And He goes on, and there's a lot of other instructions, but look at this in verse 8. He said, heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. Now, there's a subtle difference here that most of us haven't seen. But can you just think for a moment and see the difference between this instruction and what is being practiced most of the time? There are Christians, well, there's a large segment of Christians that don't even believe that God heals today, that nothing happens. They don't look for anything supernatural whatsoever. But even among those who do believe that we have access to the miraculous power of God today, they aren't following this model. Instead, what they're doing is going out and saying, oh, Lord, we have no power. God, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We're just waiting on You. Oh, God, stretch forth Your hand and heal this person. And they are pleading and begging with God to release His power. That is completely contrary to what Jesus said here. He says, I give you power over all sickness, over all disease, over all demons. And then He says, now you heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. He didn't tell you to pray for Him to do it. He told us to go out and to do this. And I know that there's people all around the world right now that are thinking, boy, you arrogant person, and you're saying that you can do this. I'm not saying that I can do this in my own power. It says in John chapter 15, I believe it's verse 5, Jesus said at the last of that verse, He says, "For without me, you can do nothing." Without Jesus, I am a zero with the rim knocked off. I am nothing. And I admit that. But I am not without Jesus. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And because I have been born again, He has placed His power on the inside of me over all sickness, over all disease, over demons. And because of that, I don't have to pray and ask God to heal people. He has placed this raising from the dead power on the inside of me. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is now dwelling in me. And because of that, instead of me asking God and approaching Him like, "God, we have no power." When the Bible says all power is given unto you, Matthew chapter 28, He said it's given unto me. And then He turned around and He says, "Go ye therefore," and He gave that power unto us. For a person to say, "Oh God, we have no power. The doctor says it's cancer. God, we're powerless." You have stepped into unbelief. You aren't understanding the power that God has placed on the inside of you. And you may be asking for the right thing. You may be pleading with God to get the right results, but you're going about it all wrong, and it's not going to happen. As I said at the beginning of this program, this is one of the most common mistakes. The Scripture says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. The word resist means to actively fight against. You have to resist the devil. You cannot go and say, "Oh God, please get the devil off my back. Oh God, I've got this sickness and disease. Would you please rebuke the devil? Would you please get rid of this sickness?" It says you resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's God's power. I can't heal a gnat. But you know what? I am not just by myself. God's power is on the inside of me, and when I resist the devil, he will flee from me. If I don't resist the devil, I can plead and beg and tell God how desperate my situation is and give him all of these reasons about why I need his help, and it's not going to get done if I don't rebuke the devil. Again, I know that there are multitudes of people that are disliking what I'm saying, because you know what this does? It puts responsibility on you, and we have become masters at dodging responsibility and giving the responsibility to everybody around us. There are people today that are blaming the color of their skin, their lack of education, the fact that you were abused when you were a child, you didn't have this advantage, you didn't have that, and we are limping through life. And the way we're able to cope and allow ourselves to just sit there and be a couch potato and watch as the stomach turns on television and do nothing about our life, the way we're able to cope with that is because we feel like we're a victim and it's not my fault and it's somebody else, and we take comfort in this and in attributing our problem is all to somebody else. But I'm telling you, if you don't take responsibility, all you can be is a victim. You cannot be a victor without accepting responsibility. And God, if you have been born again, He placed on the inside of you the same power that raised Christ from the dead. He gave you authority and power, and you can change situations if you will quit being the victim, accept responsibility, realize who you are in Christ, and stand up and begin to resist the devil. He will flee from you. But you can pray and beg God to resist the devil forever, and it will not happen. You know, I heard a story one time about Kenneth Hagin. I didn't hear him say this personally, so it was repeated by somebody. You know, there could be some thing that isn't exactly right, but the principle that I'm talking about is definitely true. And anyway, in this story, Kenneth Hagin was having a vision, and the Lord was standing there and telling him some things that were very important to him. And in the midst of this conversation between him and the Lord, a demon came and ran right in front of them and was jumping up and down, making it so that it was hard for him to see the Lord. It was hard for him to hear what the Lord was saying. And Kenneth Hagin was just saying, "Well, why didn't he move? Why didn't God rebuke him?" And finally, Kenneth Hagin just got put out and just yelled at him, "And in the name of Jesus, get out of here." And boom, his demon was gone. And the Lord looked at him and he says, "If you hadn't have done that, I couldn't." He says, "I gave you that authority." and I cannot take it back. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that would say, oh, I just don't believe that. But I believe that that's consistent. The Bible says that when something comes out of the mouth of the Lord, it's a covenant. Psalms chapter 89, verse 34 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone forth out of my lips. When God says something, it's binding to Him. People just say anything, and if they don't like it, they say, oh, well, I didn't mean that. Or if you have a good lawyer, if it's in writing even, it doesn't mean anything. If you can pay one of these fancy lawyers to come in and discuss what the meaning of is and all of this kind of stuff, and they can get out of it. Words don't mean much to people, but God never violates His Word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that He is the express image of the Father. That means a perfect representation, not just a similar representation, a perfect, identical representation of the Father. And it says He upholds all things by the word of His power. This universe is held together by the power of Jesus' words. And if He ever violated a word, if He said, you resist the devil and he will flee from you, and then because you aren't doing it, because you're ignorant of that, or you just choose not to believe it, or you don't want to accept that kind of responsibility, or whatever the motivation is, if you don't resist the devil, he can't just say, well, I'll go ahead and break my word. I said you have to resist, but I'll do it for you. If he did that, the whole world, the whole universe would self-destruct. It's held together by the integrity of his word. He can't violate his word. And even though God wants you well, God is not going to heal you. He gave you raising from the dead power, and you have to believe. And you have to resist the devil and speak to him and command this to go. Let me give you another example of this in Acts, the third chapter. This is an example of Peter and John going into the temple at the hour of prayer. And it says in verse 2, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Man, this is a great miracle. But notice, Peter and John never prayed. They didn't ask God to heal this man. They didn't start by saying, oh, Lord, we are nothing. We have nothing. We can do nothing. Oh, God, we aren't worthy. They didn't do all of the religious stuff that's done today. They didn't waste their time begging God to do something. They never prayed. They just said, silver and gold, I don't have. In other words, that didn't mean that they were poor. It just means they didn't have their wallet with them. They didn't bring their wallet to church. They said, we don't have any money on us, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Did you know that a statement like that would get Peter kicked out of nearly any church in the world today? How arrogant to say that he had the healing power of God. But that's exactly what Jesus told him. I've already read that verse. Matthew chapter 10. He says, I give you power over all demons to cast them out, over all sickness and disease to heal them. You have the power. Now you use it and you heal the sick. Peter was following Jesus' instructions to the T, and he said, such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. And they just reached down and grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. If you were to do that in most churches in the world today, most Christian churches, you would be branded as a heretic, because they don't understand authority. As a whole, the body of Christ isn't taking our authority. We don't know what we have. We don't know that God has given us this authority and power. And the whole church is, as a whole, just begging and pleading with God to move. But they aren't believing that God has moved, that God has given us this power, and they aren't taking their authority and speaking to the problem. You know, for time's sake, I'm just going to refer to some things, but over in the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus cursed a fig tree. It looked like it had fruit on it, but it didn't. So it was a hypocrite. It was like a pervert. He's the one that created trees. And he created fig trees that when they produce leaves, there should be figs there. This fig professed something that it didn't possess. And Jesus is the one that created it and set up how it was supposed to operate. He had every right to sit there and kill that tree. So instead of touching it or pouring salt on it or doing anything natural, he just spoke to this fig tree and said, "No man will eat fruit of you hereafter forever." And that afternoon, they walked right back by the tree and nobody said anything. But the next day, 24 hours later, they walked by that tree and it was dried up from the roots. The key here is that the moment Jesus spoke, it was done, but it was done below ground in the roots, and it took about 24 hours for what had happened to become visible and evident to our eyesight. But the moment Jesus spoke, that fig tree was dead. And when Peter saw this, he was so shocked. He says, "Lord, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away." And Jesus said unto him, "Have faith in God." And then in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he said, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Three times in that verse, the Lord emphasized words. The Lord didn't touch that fig tree. He didn't throw anything at it. He just spoke to it. Faith is released by words. Power is released by words. And he said, "Whoever will say to this fig tree." And notice, I could teach for an hour or two about how important your words are. One of the classic scriptures, Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." A miracle is in your mouth if you would speak and not doubt. The problem is most of us say all kinds of things and don't always believe it with our whole heart. We waver. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, if you waver, you won't receive anything from God. You've got to speak and believe with your heart, and not doubt in your heart is what Mark 11:23 says. So Jesus was emphasizing the power of words, and I could talk about that for a long, long time. But I want to specifically emphasize, notice that Jesus said, "Whosoever will say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea.'" It's not only important to recognize the power of words, but it's important who you speak to when you are having a mountain, an obstacle that's in your way. Most Christians speak to God and say, "Oh, God, please move this mountain. Oh, God, I've got this sickness. God, I've got this financial problem. God, I've got this attitude over here," or whatever. And we say, "Oh, God, please do something." And that is totally wrong. The Lord didn't tell us to talk to God about our problem and ask God to do something. See, when the Lord said you speak to your problem, this isn't obvious to every person. But if you would think about it, it's implied and it's there. For you to speak to your mountain and command it to get out of the way implies that you understand God has already done His part and He gave you power and authority. And so instead of speaking to God as if you have nothing and can do nothing, you believe that God has given you power and authority, and now you take that authority and you resist that situation. You speak and command that mountain to get out of your way. You talk to it. Talk to your problem about God. Don't talk to God about your problem. I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, there are millions of people watching this program all around the world that you're missing this simple truth. It is just different. Religion, again, doesn't teach this. And you know, I can't say that this is true of everybody, but I believe in the vast majority of cases, you know why they don't emphasize authority of the believer like this? It's because it's a safe way to play it. It doesn't accept responsibility. You can go into a person who's dying, and you can go in and say, "Oh, God, we don't have any power. Oh, God, but we know that all things are possible to him that believes. Lord, if it be your will, please heal this person, pretty please, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And you can pray a prayer like that, and if the person dies, well, God works in mysterious ways. You never know what God does. See, that's an easy way to live your life. But if you go in and start preaching that, no, God has placed this power on the inside of me, and God told me to go heal the sick, and so in the name of Jesus, I speak and I take authority. Now, it's not quite that simple because the person you're praying for needs to believe with you and agree, and so you need to interact. But I'm saying basically you just take responsibility, and instead of asking God to heal, praise him that he's already healed, that he placed this raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And then instead of speaking to God about that problem, talk to your problem about God. Say, cancer, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my body. That's exactly what Mark 11:23 is saying. Speak to your problem. And yet most people don't do this. You know, I've used this example before, so I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I prayed with a woman with severe pain. She had had pain for 7 years. The doctor said she'd be dead 3 years before I met her. She was in terrible shape. I rebuked it. She was instantly healed, and she started praising God. And then I spent about 20 minutes teaching her from Mark 11:23. About if you have another problem. It doesn't mean that you weren't healed. It just means that the devil knows I believe what I said, but he's not sure you believe. He'll come back and knock on the door to see if you'll open it and let him back in. But here's the way you respond. If you ever have another pain, you speak to it. Don't talk to God about your problem, but believe that God has given you this power, and you resist that pain, that sickness, that disease, and it will flee from you. So I taught her that. She got ready to leave, put her hand on the doorknob, looked around and said, the stinging is back. She had this stinging at her waist and her back. And I said, well, I just taught you what to do. I'm going to pray. And this woman prayed a pretty good prayer for a person that had been a Presbyterian 45 minutes before. I mean, she said, Father, I thank you. It is your will to be healed. I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, I was healed. Now, those are all good things to say, but it's not doing what Mark 11:23 says. It wasn't speaking to the problem. She was talking to the Lord and saying good things, but not taking her authority. So I asked her, I said, do you still have any stinging? And she said, yes. And I said, you know why? And she said, no. And I said, it's because you didn't talk to the stinging. You talked to God and confessed your faith in God, but you didn't take your authority and speak to the problem. And she says, you mean I'm supposed to say stinging in the name of Jesus? And I said, exactly. She says, I'll do it. So we joined hands, and she said, stinging in Jesus' name. And that's as far as she got. And the stinging left, and that's now been, I don't know, 8 years ago, and she's totally free of that problem. And man, what a classic example. She was saying good things. There are some of you who are saying good things, but you aren't taking your authority. You aren't like Peter saying, such as I have, I'm releasing. I command you sickness. I command you poverty, whatever it is, out of my life. You know, there's just so much more. I've got a lot of materials. I've got a book. I've got a study guide on the believer's authority. I've also got a DVD set and a CD set. Our announcer is going to give you some more information about that. And listen, and then please call or write today.
Today's program is a condensed version of the complete teaching series titled, The Believer's Authority. This entire series is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first teaching in the CD series is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. The free materials offered through this ministry are made possible by the donations of our friends and partners. If you'd like to join with Andrew as he spreads the almost too good to be true message of God's unconditional love and grace, contact us today and ask for information on partnership. The Believer's Authority, the book, is available when you send a gift of any amount. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching is also available in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. We'd like to remind you that we're also offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. The plot that I'm on right now is where our buildings will sit. The view behind me of Pikes Peak is where we'll be building these buildings. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes. And we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net.